I'm Christian Scheller. Welcome to my podcast, an enthusiastic ramble through whatever has taken my interest the past week or so. Expect technology, games, history, travel, geekery, and as always, much, much more. Welcome to another Chinchilla Squeaks with me, Christian Scheller. I have a packed link and news episode for you today, and a little bit of news from me at the end. So I think I'm just going to jump right in and get started. Now, I've had, and I think I've mentioned it a few times over the past few years, unfortunately, I have had an on-off, long-suffering bouts of insomnia, just poor sleep, getting up too early, etc. It's very up and down, and something I found very hard to pin down. Actually going to be taking a sleep test later this year, but that's by the by. I would say it's not as bad as it was, but it's still not great. So I'm always interested in reading about sleep advice. I think I mentioned in the past that one of the best things I read was one of these, instead of trying to make you worry about having the right routine and the right setup and the right bed and the right temperature and all these sorts of things that, to be honest with you, really you don't have as much control over as you wish. One of the resources I found most useful a few years ago was one that said, just don't worry about it so much. Stop worrying about the perfect setup. Stop worrying about the perfect time. Just do what works for you. And if that involves getting up for 2 hours, then carry on. I think obviously there's a side of that that maybe you have a less flexible work-life balance where, you know, you can't then just get up the next day. I also find that, and this kind of leads into this article I want to mention now from The Guardian by Lara Williams, in that staying up later doesn't make me get up any later, especially in summer where the light outside wakes me up, whether I like it or not, to be blunt. We also have some very noisy birds at the moment, which don't help. And in this post, she lays out a new therapy, CBTI. I guess that's cognitive behavioral therapy, not sure. A radical and grueling new therapy that rewired her relationship to sleep. Basically, really pushing you to deprive yourself of sleep so that when you do sleep, you sleep well. And I have definitely experienced this. So when we went to and from Australia, or I've just had several nights of really bad sleep in a row. And then, of course, I sleep like a baby. And I don't know why we say sleep like a baby, but I slept very well. But that, to me, doesn't really feel like a sustainable solution. But this is kind of what this treatment does. I'm not going to go into too much detail around how it went. I think maybe have a read. I don't know if I want to try it or not. It would have to be timed very well as well, of course. I'd sort of have to time it around when I have some days coming up when I don't need to be as awake. I don't know. It's also a horrible feeling. Surviving on very little sleep feels like surviving. You each day just feels like you're half a person or less, to be honest with you. And those days when I do have a good sleep, oh my God, the opposite feeling of that. I guess this is how most people feel all the time. I don't know, because it's unfortunately a rare occasion. Most of the time I feel like half a person. But anyway, so I don't know if I want to try this, but maybe it'll be recommended to me later in the year. We'll find out, I suppose. Now, on the subject of sleep, I would like to talk about our return visit to the show, Magic Mind. I was actually speaking with the people at Magic Mind and mentioning that I was going to have a lot of jet lag and been sleeping quite badly and sort of struggling to figure out my focus for a while, to be honest with you, and mentioned that that would be an interesting angle to see if on their new 7-day challenge would help me at all. I did try the drink, I don't know, maybe a year or two ago now. And the formula is a bit different. Now it does actually taste different. These are little small green shot bottles that you try every morning. I've been trying them for a few days. I've been a little sporadic, I will admit to that. And I will say that my sleep is not better, but what I'm able to do, especially in the morning, which is generally when you take it, it gets me, it keeps me going. I think nothing, unfortunately, is this miracle cure for poor sleep, but it is keeping me going. It's keeping me going through a time that is quite hard at the moment. More of that later, actually. So I think at the moment, a few days in of drinking Magic Mind, it's getting me through these hard times. And I'm going to be keeping up now for the next few weeks. So I'll see how much it will help me next week and the week after. And if it maybe helps me improve that sleep in the long run too. If you're interested in trying Magic Mind yourself, then I have a discount code for you, a special offer code. It will get you up to 48% off your first subscription or 20% off one-time purchases. You can use the code Chinchilla Squeaks, name of the podcast, no space, 20, number 20 at checkout. And I will put a link in the show notes too. And I'd be interested to know how well it works for you. Changing tack a little bit, changing tack. I've never actually been sure what the right word is. I feel like tack. Anyway, changing direction a little bit. I am always a fan of Mac apps, little productivity tools, things like that. Yes, there's a theme running through this episode, how to help me work better, I think. I love having little things up in the menu bar, but yeah, it gets busy quite quickly. And for a while, thanks to Setapp, which I'm not sure if I've mentioned before, but again, I actually have a referral link for them in the show notes, should you wish to check them out and help me out a little bit. I've been using Bartender. Bartender is a pretty well-known tool that, well, tends your menu bar, I guess, is the point of that name. It's been running for some time. They just put out version 5, which some people said was maybe a little bit too much going on. I don't mind it so much, but I don't really have much use for a lot of the additional features it adds. I think this is always a problem with applications as they move forward, especially simple ones. How do you keep people coming back when you're sort of one use, or one purpose, I suppose? But more recently, and I won't really go into details of what happened because that's been covered, is that the developers sold the product to another company. And that company maybe didn't handle the transition so well. They missigned some security certificates, which are very important with macOS and to Apple generally. They were not very clear about the fact they'd taken over the company. A lot of people thought something bad had happened, some kind of attack, et cetera, et cetera. And actually, I think Setapp has only just switched to the new version once those problems were ironed out. But the point of this mention is I found an interesting article on Mac Stories that I may have a look through and see how they compare with Bartender at some point. Other alternatives to tidy, to hide, to add a bit more control to that menu bar that can easily get out of control on macOS. So have a look. If you've been thinking about Bartender or thinking about moving from Bartender, then do please have a look and let me know if you find one that works better for you. I think I've mentioned before on the show, probably more than once in all honesty, that I used to be a musician and I'm doing it a little bit again. Actually, we'll come back to that at the end of the show. I have some related news, actually. This is from MIT Technology Review by James O'Donnell. Training AI music models is about to become very expensive. I will say that the music industry has traditionally been one that does work hard to defend its interests. We could argue whether or not they defend the interests of the artists in a separate conversation, I think. But they do not like the fact that a lot of these music generation apps, Suno, Udio, and a few others, have kind of been training themselves on copyrighted material. And there's been a few examples put out from other reporters where they put in something and got some very recognizable songs back. And some artists are okay with this, some artists aren't, but this doesn't necessarily mean their labels are okay with it. So they are pushing extremely hard to either litigate against these companies or regulate these companies. And as I said, they have generally been a powerful player in certain countries. So it could be that if you want to use these apps, it's going to get expensive very quickly. And in my mind, I kind of think that is okay. If we found a model for streaming to quote unquote work, we all know my opinions on streaming and how it's not that great for artists, but still, if these tools are going to exist, if these tools are going to be inspired by and trained upon artists' work, then pay them for it. And it may become another distribution platform. And I'm okay with that if the rates are high enough for the artists. How that would work exactly remains to be seen, of course. Is it per use of training? Is it per use of the trained model, et cetera, et cetera? But we'll see, I suppose. We'll see how much weight the music industry throws around and how much they think it's worth income from these companies, I suppose, in the long run, especially. Now, I was at KubeCon earlier in the year. I am about to put out some... I'm about to put out some more interviews next week from KubeCon. But one thing I definitely noticed, one trend I definitely noticed, was a lot of people actually starting to move away from the cloud, whatever that means, because the details here are a little less clear. This is actually from the BBC. Are rainy days ahead for cloud computing? Very good. Thank you, Sean McManus. And this is actually addressing 37 Signals, the company behind Basecamp. Nice to see them in the news again, actually, to be honest with you. They're one of these companies that I like to refer to. I think we got distracted by high-raising startups for the past 10 years, and we forgot about companies like 37 Signals, who just tick along in the background, doing very well, thank you, but not kind of making a big song and dance all the time. And they mention they will get a profit boost of $1 million from leaving the cloud. I think the argument has been that this kind of spiky on-demand pricing is not necessarily always as good value as people may think. Now, the interesting thing here is you have to be a little bit careful, is what is your definition of cloud? Well, if it is cloud providers, then yes, they are, and others are moving away from the big three-letter acronym. No, not all three-letter, actually. Two and a half. Anyway, the cloud companies with the short names. But if you are talking about renting servers somewhere in a server farm, then is that still cloud? I don't know. And that's what they are doing. They are actually moving into their own data centers instead, and these shared data centers. And this was actually a trend I saw a lot at KubeCon, especially in Europe, I think because of data sovereignty in Europe. There's a French company, an English company, and a Swiss company, I think, are the three big names. And I will actually have an interview with some of those coming up from the KubeCon coverage, not next week, but soon, where, you know, they offer a different model. And you could still use Kubernetes. You could still use a whole bunch of other cloud native tools, but you're not necessarily using cloud vendors. And they are not the only company thinking of doing this. So yeah, I'm interested to watch this trend. What about you? If you work for a company or work for clients who are thinking about doing this, let me know. You can find my details at christianschiller.com, of course. And I'd be interested to know, yeah, are you seeing this trend too? 37 Signals, as far as I know, is a big Ruby shop. I think Basecamp kind of was invented, I think from memory, that Rails was invented because of Basecamp, I think. That I will have to be sure of. But anyway, I am actually visiting Europa in Sarajevo later in the year, September 11th to 13th, with a friend. I'm hoping to actually work on an article and a series of interviews about the state of Ruby. Ruby is kind of a language that people sort of forget about, but it's not on the cool list anymore. So I'm interested in speaking to people to see what they think from now on. If that sounds good to you, then I would invite you to grab a ticket and come along in about 2 months' time at 2024.euroku.org. And I'll be there with a good friend of mine actually hanging out for a few days too. So yeah, if Ruby's your thing, if you live in or around Europe and fancy hopping over to Bosnia and Herzegovina, then, and if you fancy popping over to Sarajevo, come say hi, because I'll be there watching. Actually, they've got a good speaker lineup, actually. So I am looking forward to this. A little bit of a retro gaming section, because I always like to do this. Over on Wired by Kelly Clancy, SimCity isn't a model of reality. It's a libertarian toyland. I'm not sure if it's this book. She's written a book recently called Playing with Reality, or if it was I think it might have actually been more of just like a history of SimCity and Will Wright and Max's book I read recently. SimCity was kind of, I don't know if it was the first simulation game, but it was definitely one of the most groundbreaking ones, went on to be the most popular game at the time. But less known is that the company were asked to create simulations of all sorts of things, from healthcare to industrial plants and things like that. And this article outlines some of those and how some of them were more or less successful, shall we say. So if that interests you, then have a read about some of those stories you may not have heard about where else SimCity went, I suppose. And if you feel like playing SimCity, there are various ways to play SimCity, but WebAssembly, that amazing technology I will be having a whole bunch of content on soon. Head over to micropolisweb.com and you could see SimCity running in WebAssembly. Now, the thing to be wary of is it's slightly disappointing. You can't actually play it. It's just sort of running. It's a little bit hard to know what's happening. But it looks cool. So you could zoom in and out. I'm having a look now in glorious 8-pixel wonder and zooming right out, and things get a bit lost then. But it's quite cool to look at. I think WebAssembly is quite a fascinating technology. So yeah, go play some SimCity and maybe build your own simulator. Now, news from me. Yes, 2024 has not been the best year for everybody. And the same does apply to me. I've mentioned this in a few places already, but I'm going to talk in detail about something specific. I've had a few projects cancelled, but one in particular that I'm a little bit annoyed by, which was a book I was writing on Ableton Live 12, popular music software made here in Berlin. Actually, it was suddenly cancelled. Not really going to go into any details, but I was enjoying the process and was building up a good plan, a good body of work, bringing what I like to think a good dose of like practical analog / old school music experience to a piece of software that's used a lot in the electronic music space. And whilst I'm kind of aware it's probably too late to put out a specific Live 12 book now, I think it came out in March, I would still like to do something with what I was creating. So I've been thinking about maybe a new book, a course, video series, something like that. Maybe focusing on using Live for drummers or for analog musicians or quote unquote old school musicians or something like that. So if you or anyone else out there is maybe interested in working with me on that project, then do get in touch, christianschiller.com. And the final bit of news, and I'll be working on this throughout August. I think it's just a good time to do it because it's quite quiet. I am planning to actually rebrand the podcast and the newsletter. More on that soon, but I thought I'd drop that hint there. I have two new name ideas I'm thinking around. I think I know which path I'm going to go down, and I'll explain more as to why, etc., when I do it. But until then, I have been Christian Schiller. As always, thank you very much for joining me, and take care, everybody. Welcome to another Chinchilla Squeaks with me, Christian Schiller. This is an interview show. I'm going to have two interviews from KubeCon back a few months back now. I hope that a lot of what's in this episode is still current. It's a little bit hard to keep up sometimes, but I will come on. Welcome to another Chinchilla Squeaks with me, Chris Chinchilla. This is going to be an interview show. I have two interviews for you from KubeCon earlier in the year. I have Matt Wilson and someone else who joined somewhat spontaneously, and I cannot entirely remember their name. Maybe it will come up in the interview, hopefully. We'll see. From Docker, from the Docker Build Cloud team. Good to be speaking to Docker again after many KubeCons. And then I speak with Sebastian Blanc from Ivan, someone who I've known for some time, a kind of database as a service, maybe a bit more. We dig into that. And that was a good interview too, three very interesting people actually, yes. Before I begin, I wanted to talk to you about Magic Mind. Now, Magic Mind have been on the show before, I think maybe a year or so ago, 18 months or so ago, and they sent me another little box of their little green bottles to try. They have a new formula. Tastes different, has a bit more of a chalky taste. I think it actually has some new, I'm going to call them fungus. I know that sounds bad, but some of this stuff is quite good for you. I'm big into a lot of this kind of thing at the moment. I'm going to talk more about that in the future, actually. But it has something I tried in another drink recently. I recognize the taste. So some of these substances have a taste. You can start to recognize them of these things you drink. And I'm going to cover this a little bit more in my news episode next week, but I've been having issues with sleep, with focus. There's a lot of things going on at the moment in life that's making it a little harder than it could be. It should be, maybe. And so whilst I was speaking to the Magic Mind team, I was discussing about, you know, how could something like this maybe help me get through these hard times? And I don't think anyone pretends that something like this is going to solve all your problems. That's certainly not the case, but it can help you get through those hard times. And I've been trying it every morning, and my sleep is still pretty bad, and it takes a lot to offset that, of course. We can pretend that things like coffee and stuff help, but they really don't. But especially in that first half of the day when I try that Magic Mind shot, it does help me keep going and get into the middle of the day, and then the momentum is going and then I can be a bit more productive. Now, they do ship all over the world. Last time I got it, it came through the US and it was quite a fraught process. Now they're coming from, I don't know where it came from, but I didn't have to deal with any kind of customs or anything. So it's coming from somewhere a lot more local. If you're interested in trying it too, I have a discount code for you. Chinchilla Squeaks, name of the show, no space, 20, number 20. You can try this in checkout for 48% off your first subscription or 20% off any one-time purchases. And I will be continuing my 7 days plus, I think I have maybe about 12 or 15 of them over the next 3 weeks, and let you know my journey. See how much it keeps me going through this slightly challenging times. All right, then, on the subject of busyness and lack of sleep, these next two interviews are from KubeCon. Could have done with Magic Mind during that, I tell you. There's a little bit of background noise. As always, I've done my best to clean it up. Cannot get rid of it all. Give you the vibe of the show. Let's jump into my interviews with Matt Wilson, plus one other from Docker, and Sebastian Blanc from Ivan. And I will join you on the other side. And those were my interviews with Docker and Ivan. I hope you enjoyed those. Now, I did mention last week I was going to have some news to share with you. I think I'm going to save it for next week because I have quite a packed news show. And I think it just makes more sense to put it all there instead of at the end of this interview show, which has already been long listening to voices. So you can listen to more voices next week instead, I think. If you hop on over to YouTube, I've actually started putting out a couple of If you pop on over to YouTube, I have put up a short video on Ableton, some quick tips on Ableton Live 12. I'm going to be putting out some of those based on some work I've been doing. More of that next week. And I will have a new spoken word video out soon. I made the music with someone and I'm just waiting for them to give me some feedback on what we made, see if they like it. And that will be out soon too, which is a music set to one of my Flash Fiction readings. And yeah, a whole bunch of other things in progress. I'm going to save two of them to talk about next week and some more throughout July and August, actually. July, August is going to be busy with me catching up with lots of things because everyone else is on holiday. So it's a perfect time to catch up on things, to be honest with you. I will be, if you are interested in Ruby, I know it sounds a little bit out there, but I've just confirmed my press tickets. I will be at Euroco, I don't know how to say this, European Ruby Conference in Sarajevo in middle of September with a friend of mine, actually. And they asked me, it's a community organized event, some really good speakers, actually. Sarajevo, I'm really looking forward to. I've been to the Balkans a lot and I'm really looking forward to seeing what Sarajevo is like because I've never been. They asked me to say, oh, promote the show. They asked me to promote the event a little bit because tickets are still on sale. So if you're into Ruby, if you're not into Ruby, but fancy coming along to Sarajevo, then that is at 2024.euroko, E-U-R-U-K-O. I'll put this in the show notes, .org. And grab a ticket and maybe I will see you there over at Arakia and some Borek or something like that. Oh. Okay, that is me done. Hope you enjoyed the interviews. I'll be back next week. And until then, take care, everyone. And thank you very much for joining me. I hope you enjoyed the show. Find out more about me at chrischinchilla.com, where you can find show notes, sign up for my newsletter, and find all of my writing, games, work, and video links. There's also details on how to get in touch with me. And if you want to get even closer to what I do, join my Discord server for behind-the-scenes discussions and helping me produce my shows and work.